Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's $40 to $50 million sort of facelift, I guess, that is a plan. They're planning to submit a plan that would then need to be approved by the city. It's like, you know, they're planning to plan something, essentially.
I'm glad you guys are on the same page as me. Again, don't get me wrong, it's great. Like, this is great news.
No, it's something we all want. All three of us this city means a lot to us. So all of us want to see that stadium as best as it can be.
If we're reading the tea leaves right, it seems like they were probably planning to announce this later, but given the events of the past week, it seemed prudent to them, for perception's sake, to just announce it now, even though it's probably premature.
Absolutely. There was a quote, and I read John's story, but the quote from Veach, actually, I think it's in the Commercial Appeal and the Daily Memphian. I don't know which one I read it on, but basically it's Laird Veach talking about how they are in the process of, like, looking at architects.
Yes.
Like, in what universe has an athletic director ever on his own, without prompting, decided to tell the world that they're looking at architects? You know,
And not to cut you off, but also, when you announce the cost of an expansion before,
well, they didn't announce it.
Well, like the plan, like to spend, mm-hmm, you know, $40 or $50 million before you've talked to the architect, mm-hmm, that also makes me go, wait a minute.
But yeah. So I guess here's the question. Do you think I don't know if Memphis will or won't end up on the right side of this conference realignment stuff. But it seems to me the reason they will or won't be because they're spending 40 or 50 million or planning to spend.
Maybe.
Or planning to try to spend.
Planning to ask permission to spend $40 or $50 million
on a Liberty Bowl renovation. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't blame them for doing it.
No, not at all.
No, the flip side now, of course, is, sure, in the short term, maybe you make yourself more attractive in realignment. The long-term downside, which I'm sure they're aware of, is now there's this expectation of grandeur among the fan base that's probably coming a little bit too early because, mm-hmm, you know, if we're just now looking at maybe selecting an architect, then we're 3 years away from having renderings, and we're probably 5 or 6 years away from having all the money we need lined up. And then we're probably a decade away from seeing the ground break on this thing. So that's the downside, is that you probably artificially inflate public expectation, you know, for this project way before, you know, you're even close to really having anything, you know, set in stone.
Yeah. No, and it also, I think the one thing I would say about the fan base is I think there's a segment of the fan base that looks at this news and reacts, well, this means there's no way they're ever going to try and do an on-campus stadium anytime soon. And, you know, like, that's the other side of it. But as me and Jeffrey point out, like, I think if they thought they could get the money together to plan an on-campus stadium, they would have done it already. They would do it now. And they just know it's not realistic. That's not in the cards.
Here's, if you want to take the 30-year plan, and I'm not an athletic director, but if you want to take the 30-year plan, having an on-campus stadium is an aspiration long-term for the University of Memphis, the best way in the long run to generate the revenue to support that type of project would be to get in a more lucrative conference where,
yes,
you can actually, you know, make some hay and build up a larger revenue base that way. So in that sense, if you want to take the really long-range view on it, yeah, you're going to position yourself to do more large-scale capital projects if you can get yourself in a more lucrative league.
Which I think is actually the interesting question. If you were, Cobb, if you're advising Memphis, and you're saying, let's take that 30-year plan, and you're saying, how do you best position yourself to be in 30 years in the strongest, you know, based on what the information you have now, to be in the strongest place in 30 years from now, what would you recommend?
Yeah, well, try to get in the best league that you can, and lean on the AAC and lean on Mike Oresko and encourage him to be aggressive. And, you know, I think that goes for Cincinnati, UCF, Memphis, you know, Houston, the cream of the crop in the AAC. Oresko is going to listen to those presidents and those ADs and those Board of Regents members more right now probably than ever. He should have his ear bent to their wishes and their desires. And so if you can lean on him and say, hey, man, you know, we don't want to look elsewhere. We like it here, but Mike, you need to step up to the plate and get aggressive here. And to me, that's looking at Boise and BYU and offering them a path to the college football playoff that maybe isn't all that viable, you know, for them right now, but that could be if they were to be interested in joining the AAC and we do restructure to 12 and there's a bid, you know, in store probably almost every year, you know, for that conference.
It's interesting, Cobb. Last week, you were on with us when this story first broke from the Houston Chronicle, and now we're a week later. It's funny. I was those first couple days, it was like the adrenaline was kicking. I was really excited about all this. You thought about it from the SEC perspective. You're like, this is going to be awesome. Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, all in the same conference. And then as time has worn on, I've kind of become more and more I don't know if disenchanted is the right word, but just kind of disappointed that, like, this is what we're talking about instead. You know, it's kind of overtaken, you know, the preseason, the college football preseason, and it made me think about what the future of college football is going to look like.
We're not talking about depth charts, which is a shame.
Yeah, in the last 24, 48 hours, we're seeing more and more reports that not only is this like, does it feel like this is great for the SEC, but bad for everyone else potentially, this move by Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC, but also it sounds like it's going to slow down the implementation of this 12-team playoff. It sounds like it's a pipe dream to think we're going to get it in 2 years. It seems more and more likely now that if there's a 12-team playoff, it's not going to happen until 2026. I'm curious now that you've had a week to marinate on what Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC are doing. Are you excited? Do you lament what it means for the rest of college football? How do you perceive this move?
Yeah, the potential delay of the playoff expansion, I think, is a disappointing element of this. And I also think that right now, a week later, we're in a little bit of a hangover stage because, you know, with Texas and Oklahoma having made their intentions clear, you know, there's this big rush of news and adrenaline and interest in all of it, with the underlying assumption that all these other dominoes will soon be falling as well. But what you got to remember is that Texas, Oklahoma, the SEC, they were talking about this for a year, according to some reports. And so to expect more dominoes to fall within the first week or 2 weeks or 1 month even, you know, after this bombshell has dropped, is just not practical. And so I think that's the phase that we're in right now, where everybody's sitting back and just trying to evaluate where do we go from here, because these other leagues and these other schools have not had time to evaluate, digest their options because of how sudden and unexpected this long, in secret, you know, planned move was by this, you know, this power play by the SEC and by Texas and Oklahoma. So to me, that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, okay, the news has happened, but now there has to be sort of a certain period of time for everybody to digest this and really assess, you know, where do we go from here? And somebody's going to have to make the first move. And we're talking about a lot of new commissioners now, where, Big Ten commissioner, Kevin Warren, he's only been in the job for about a year. The ACC commissioner just started. The Pac-12 commissioner just started. Bob Bowlesby is on his heels and just got blindsided. So who's going to be the commissioner who steps up to make that next move? I don't know. I mean, it could be the AAC. I think this is an opportunity for Mike Oresko to kind of bolster his league a little bit, maybe, and to, you know, and not only in football, but to add a little heft in basketball as well, maybe.
Do you think maybe the issue is, because I'd mentioned last week on the show, like, I think part of maybe the disenchantment, I guess is the right word this time around, is the fact that when you really started to watch the dust settle, it felt like TV network executives were largely just like placing things in an order that they wanted so that they could have the best TV games. And then you sit there and you go, well, like, that's not why we like college football. We like it because of rivalry games and whatnot, like, not because, like, what makes it the best game. I also think there's another element. I want to hear what y'all think about this, because I've found myself doing more thinking on this rather than trying to figure out what's going on, kind of, you know, fact gathering or data gathering. I think the another big issue is we don't know what it's going to look like. So the last time we had, you know, realignment, the last couple of times we've had realignment, it was more or less repositioning things into, like, leagues that we already knew about. And so it's like, okay, yeah, maybe if some faces are different, but you still had distinct flavors. You know, the SEC was its distinct flavor. The ACC was its distinct flavor. The Big Ten was its flavor. The Big 12 was its flavor. And then the Pac-12 was its own thing. And then you had the rest of college football that was, you know, fighting from underneath. I think what makes it so difficult now is that you're starting to realize ESPN has maybe made the calculated decision of, we've always wanted to be at the same table with NBC and with CBS and with Fox in the NFL. And I think they came to the realization of, that's probably just not going to happen for whatever the reason may be. Like, they can try to get in there as much as they want, but it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to be at the same level there. So they've made this decision to make college football, like, they're going to own college football, and they're going to own the playoff. They're going to own the best games, and they're going to own that sport, because the reality of the situation is the biggest sport in the country is the NFL, and then college football is now, we're starting to see, like, it's clearly becoming the second biggest thing. So it feels like another kind of bummer of this all is, like, when you don't really know the direction it's headed, and you don't know what, like, where everyone's going to be, who everyone's going to be in, it just kind of makes you go, wake me up when this is over. I'm curious if that makes any sense to y'all.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, I think that fan bases are pretty invested in this. I mean, mm-hmm. You're one of those eight leftover Big 12 teams, and you just saw Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC. You're looking at Bob Bowlesby and the Big 12 leadership, and you're saying, hey, make something happen here. Make this okay. And, you know, I think if you're in the Pac-12, you're probably feeling the pressure a little bit just due to their waning relevancy in terms of not making the playoff for, you know, probably going to be 5 years straight now after this season. You know, so those two leagues in particular, the Big 12, the Pac-12, I think there's probably some angst in those fan bases, and, you know, probably to a certain degree in the ACC as well, because they're locked in for over a decade still to what most people are describing as a pretty terrible TV rights deal. And so, you know, if you're the ACC, are you feeling great about where you stand in all this either? I don't know. I think more than ever, you know, fan bases are in tune to some of this stuff. So I don't remember exactly how it played out 10 years ago, what the level of interest was.
No, there was had high interest.
Oh, it was high interest because it was a Texas Civil War, which is always fun to watch, especially from, like, the outside looking in. You had Nebraska giving the middle finger to Texas and really OU as well. That was fun. Colorado was like, hey, we're just going to go get high and ski over here in the Pac-12. Then you had the AC.
Remember, we had like the legislature at Oklahoma got involved.
Well, then we had the senator from Virginia getting involved. But then we had like certain teams entering the ACC at different times, but like it was announced at the same time. You had Louisville that had spent all this time and effort to get into the Big East, only to get an invite from the ACC, and like 6 months later, be like, peace, y'all.
And I feel like all that is still to come, because what I was saying earlier, the rest of the dominoes haven't fallen yet. We still need studies on the financial feasibility of certain options for certain conferences. I mean, there's just so many things that have yet to even be put in motion on this, or that are just now being put in motion because of how secret this was and because of how sudden it was. And so I think all of that stuff is still to come. And, you know, this is going to continue to loom over the college football season. It's going to be discussed on every broadcast. It's going to be written about ad nauseum. And we have no choice, honestly, but to be interested in it. Because if you're a fan base here and we're moving into this new era of college athletics, the last thing you want is to be left behind. And if you're in the SEC or the Big Ten, you know, I think that you can kind of rest easy and sit pretty knowing that nothing's going to happen to your athletic department coffers. It might get harder to win if you're a middle-of-the-pack team in the SEC, and you're probably feeling fine if you're the Big Ten because they're in pretty good shape. But I think if you're in any other conference right now, you're feeling a little uneasy about, you know, where this ship is going and if you're going with it.
See, this is kind of, I agree with your view if you're an SEC school, because for all the criticism in, you know, SEC country about Alabama gets all the calls, everything, the entire league's designed to benefit Alabama. One thing I tip my cap on Alabama, they view Vanderbilt and Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Kentucky and South Carolina, they view them all equally. And we're all members of the same thing. And Texas and Oklahoma don't. And I think another thing that's interesting moving forward, I think what we're starting to see is this line of differentiation between universities that think athletics is an extracurricular versus universities that view athletics as a huge part of the university. And I'm even including an academic place like Michigan. Like, Michigan clearly tries to be as good of a school as possible, yet at the same time, like, they don't think of athletics as like something to do, much like Stanford does. And I do think if I'm
they're less hoity-toity than Stanford.
If I'm Kliakoff, I am paranoid that someone has been calling USC, that someone has been calling Oregon, that someone has been calling Washington. And if I am Kevin Warren, I am very fearful that I pissed off Ohio State and Michigan last year because we didn't really want to play football. And then we did play football. And then, you know, we saw a lot of these weird like battle lines drawn. And then if I'm the ACC, I took note of when Jay Billis went on SportsCenter yesterday and he was asked if he were the ACC commissioner what he would do, and he said I'd pick up the phone and I'd call the SEC and I'd talk about a merger, because to me that symbolized Jay Billis knows the people that make decisions in the ACC, and it symbolized to me that they are very fearful if this TV deal can't get reworked, that they're primed for poaching. Because the other big thing that we've seen right now is a grant of rights. It's the Game of Thrones scenes, guys. It's Cersei ripping up the letter that Ned Stark had and just saying, it is a piece of paper, y'all. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It does seem like we're headed, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, by the time that quote-unquote granted rights that the ACC has is signed, it feels like it's going to look completely different than it does today.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about an ACC mass exodus in the short term, because that TV deal that they've got does go for another decade. And so we're talking about price tags.
You're talking like $500 million, something like that, something crazy.
Exactly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.